So quick to choose the path walked by the righteous, so you can go and nest among the weak. The innocent observers will refuse to find the lie within. Renew the disappointment of the meek.
Chapter 11. Chapter warning for the discussion of sexual assault / statutory rape, because, you know, Kate. Since the hunters know who they are now, Peter begrudgingly admits that they won't have to kill the doctor after he sees their faces. That makes the persuasion a lot easier. Stiles goes in by himself and gets all the information they need. An hour later, he's knee-deep in Gerard Argent's financial records. Okay, got it, he says, face practically glued to his laptop. A few weeks after the fire, Gerard purchased a beach house in Panama. Oh, and he pays her cell phone bill, too. How touching. Now I have her cell phone. Aw, she doesn't have her GPS turned on. Sure, it's just an oversight on her part. Let me just turn that on. Peter smiles at him fondly. I do enjoy watching you work. She's in San Jose. Bet she's flying out. Let's see if Gerard bought her plane tickets, too. He hadn't. Peter theorizes that he might not know she's coming, that he probably had told her to stay where she was. Stiles nods and continues to force the internet to cough up confidential information. I wish I could get the flight manifests. What about security cameras? The airport uses a closed system. I'd have to physically hack into it. Stiles chews on his lower lip for a few moments, thinking. But she'll have to drive from Sacramento to Beacon Hills, so she'll have to rent a car. Or steal one, I guess. Peter thinks about it. I doubt she'll steal one. It'd be in her best interest to maintain a low profile. A stolen car is the opposite of that. So she'll rent one, which means that we might be able to catch sight of her at the car rental station. Let me pull up a map of the Sacramento airport, Stiles says, typing. Okay, yes. All the rental agencies are in the same place, so we won't need to worry about which one she uses. Let's track her GPS and wait for her to get close. Then stake out the airport and see if we can get close enough to clone her phone and get her car information.
Sounds like a plan, Peter agrees.
5 hours later, Kate's plane is in the air. 12 hours after that, Stiles and Peter are on their way to Sacramento. Peter is driving, and Stiles is idly playing on his phone when he says, Hang on, we're going to have a problem.
Which is?
Peter asks. I think she flew to San Francisco instead of Sacramento. That's where her GPS is showing now, and it hasn't moved in 10 minutes.
Peter grimaces. Think we can still catch her?
Not without getting pulled over, Stiles says, and shakes his head. Shit! She probably figured we'd try something like intercepting her at the airport and decided she'd rather drive the distance.
Well, it can't always be easy, Peter says. What are the odds you can get into the car rental records?
Stiles shrugs. It can't hurt to try, but we'd have to go through each registration individually. At a huge airport like San Francisco, there will be hundreds each day, if not thousands.
True, Peter says, although we can narrow it down some since we know what time she landed. I'm not saying it's ideal, but it's the best idea I have at the moment. Either way, let's head back to Beacon Hills. We need to make sure Laura and her pack are safe.
Peter refuses to go to the Hale pack's den, saying he'll patrol and keep watch on the perimeter. Stiles rolls his eyes so hard that he practically sprains a cornea. Then calls Derek. Hey, you got dinner plans tonight?
Not really, Derek says, a little wary. Why?
I'm heading over to the den. Figured I might buy some goodwill from the betas if I brought some food and cooked. You know I make a killer chicken parm, right? But I also didn't want to step on any toes if there were, like, assigned chores and shit.
Derek gives a little snort. No, I mean, Boyd is usually the one who cooks. Or we order takeout or whatever. And trust me, he won't mind letting someone else handle it for the night.
Cool. I'll hit up the grocery and meet you there in about an hour. Oh, hey, how many people?
8 plus you. No, wait, Jordan's working swing shift today. Just 7.
Okay, I'll see you soon.
When Stiles arrives at the Hale house, Laura is standing on the front porch. Her jaw is clenched and tight, but she gives him a civil nod and says,
Derek said you'd be coming. He's not here yet, but come on in.
Thanks, Stiles says, glad that Laura's not going to make a big deal out of it. The Betas are all gathered in the living room watching TV, and Laura introduces him. Jackson keeps giving him surreptitious stares, like he can't believe the nerd he used to bully grew up to be a tattooed badass. And Erica says,
Damn! No wonder Derek has been in a better mood for the last 6 months.
Stiles smirks at her and says,
Glad to be of service.
Boyd rolls his eyes and changes the subject, saying, Thanks for cooking.
No problem. Just point me to the kitchen.
Pounding the chicken breasts flat is therapeutic, and by the time Derek arrives, they're sizzling away. He finishes cooking while Derek spends some time with the Betas. Then they sit down to dinner.
So, where's Peter?
Laura asks.
On the perimeter, Stiles says. I mean, we have Kate's phone GPS on lock, so in theory we'll know if she comes to play, but there's always a chance she'll leave her phone behind to try to trick us. It's better to have someone out patrolling.
Better him than me, Isaac says, glancing outside where a steady rain has started. The conversation shifts to everyday Beacon Hills business, and Stiles lets it go on without him. He's the intruder here, and the less of a problem he causes, the better. Derek is quiet and moody and doesn't contribute much either. Stiles hopes that this will be over quickly. Kate seems like the type of person who will charge in heedless of the consequences. If she shows up tonight, he and Peter can kill her and be gone by sunrise. After dinner, the Betas clean up, and Laura thanks Stiles for cooking in a stiff but not totally unfriendly tone. They sit down and watch a movie, after which Derek and Stiles head upstairs. Derek doesn't live at the den full time, but he has a room there for when he stays the night. It's got books stacked on every flat surface, but other than that, it's pretty barren. Stiles kisses him a few times, but Derek clearly isn't in the mood, and Stiles can hardly blame him for that. So he backs off. Instead, he picks up one of the books, a battered, old copy of Anna Karenina.
Hey, can I ask you a stupid question?
Derek shrugs one shoulder and says, Sure.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Derek glances over at him, clearly surprised by this question, then looks away. I kind of had this idea of being a professional basketball player. I knew it wouldn't fly, though, because I'd give myself away.
Stiles laughs a little and says, Wow! I don't think that's what I was expecting. I mean, I know you're a total nerd.
Yeah, I guess. Things changed a lot after the fire. Reading was a way for me to escape, so yeah, I read a lot. In New York City, I worked at a library for a while. I actually enjoyed that. I love old stuff, though. History and archaeology and that sort of thing. Derek sits down on the edge of the bed. What about you? You always wanted to be a cop, right?
Yeah. Stiles sits down next to him. And damn, I would have been great at it, too. Although, I have to admit, investigating is a lot easier when you can break the law with impunity. Just hack into people's bank accounts and phones and shit. Not that I want the police to be able to do that, because it would be a gross invasion of privacy, but...
But it's okay when you do it? Derek asks, his lips twitching.
Stiles laughs. Yep, 100%.
Derek reaches out and gives him a playful shove. Stiles lets him and leans back towards him, pressing his shoulder into Derek's. They sit in silence for a minute. Finally, Derek says, What happens after you guys deal with Kate?
I don't know, Stiles admits. He hunches his shoulders a little.
It was getting a lot trickier anyway, now that they knew we were coming. We had a couple of really close calls. I knew we wouldn't be able to do this forever, but... He goes quiet before finally saying, I was okay with that for a long time, with the idea that we'd get caught and killed. But I got less okay with it as I got older, when I didn't need to train 24 hours a day, and found things I actually enjoy. Or maybe just as I got further away from my dad's death and put some of the grief behind me. Do you want to stop? Derek asks. I don't want to. I can't say I like what I do, but I think it needs to be done, and nothing that's happened so far has changed my mind about it. But I think maybe we have to, now that they know who we are. I don't think I'm willing to risk my life the way I used to be okay with. And I'm sure as hell not willing to risk yours. Derek reaches out and twines his fingers through Styles. Thanks for that. You're welcome. Styles manages a little smile. You know what I could do, though? Keep breaking the law to figure out who killed the innocent people and then point the cops their way. Evidence obtained through illegal means is admissible if it's submitted anonymously, so I could still make sure the hunters towed the line. It wouldn't be the same, but at least it would be something. Derek nods.
It would be.
Derek has a love-hate relationship with how well he sleeps when he's with Styles. He loves it, sleeping with Styles tucked into the curve of his body. Little spoon all the way, Styles said when asked about this, feeling safe and warm and protected. But he also hates it because of what it means about their relationship, about how he's developing feelings for Styles that can only lead to disaster. They'd agreed they wouldn't have that sort of relationship. He can't just change that now. He's woken from his sound sleep by the ringing of his cell phone. Styles startles awake. He's a light sleeper for obvious reasons, and fumbles for it before realizing that it's Derek's, not his. He hands it over without answering it, and Derek frowns at the screen, which just says, unknown number, and picks up cautiously. Hello? Darebear! It's Kate's vivacious tone, and he's suddenly 15 years old again, a time when hearing that voice was his favorite thing in the world. Long time no see!
Jesus,
Derek swears, unable to come up with anything else to say. Nah, he came back in 3 days, Kate says without missing a beat. I was laid up for 3 weeks, if you'll believe that. Worst 3 weeks of my life. So hey, babe, I need you to do something for me. Derek manages to swallow around the lump in his throat.
Why would I do anything for you?
Are you kidding? Kate laughs. They still don't know, do they? Laura and Peter. Do you want me to tell them that you're the one who got everyone killed? Come meet me for coffee. The Red Light Diner is still open 24 hours, right? Great. I'll see you there in half an hour. She hangs up, and Derek is left sitting in the bed, holding the phone, his guts twisting themselves into knots. Derek is blinking at him, having caught just enough of the conversation to know damn well who he was talking to, but not why. And Derek just sits there, unable to explain. Finally, he manages.
She wants me to meet her for coffee.
Okay, what? Styles asks, blinking at him. Why? What? I am made of questions right now.
I can't.
Derek wants to curl up underneath the bed and pray for the world to end before he has to explain this to Styles.
Kate was...
Oh, holy shit! Styles' eyes go wide. Holy fucking shit! No. Okay. He abruptly lurches out of bed and starts pacing around the room. You and Kate. Okay. It makes so much sense. I get it now. Peter had always said that he couldn't figure out how she got close without any of them smelling her.
I'm sorry, Derek chokes out.
What? Styles spins on one heel and sees the way Derek is huddled in the bed. Oh no! No, 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 no! Derek, no! He dives back into the bed and wraps his arms around Derek, pulling Derek against his shoulder.
Don't be sorry. It wasn't your fault. She tricked you. She lied to you. And you were 15. I don't remember how old Kate was when she killed my dad, but she was very definitely an adult. Like, she had to be in her mid-20s, so don't say you're sorry. It wasn't your fault.
Derek clutches at him, unable to help it, burying his face in Styles' shoulder and letting out a hoarse sob.
God, I can't even imagine. Like, Peter and I are fucked up, sure, but you, having to carry that all these years, no wonder you were never able to just get over it.
Styles hugs him tighter.
But we're going to take care of this, okay? She wants you to go meet her for coffee. Great. Just grit your teeth and sit through it, because then we know where she'll be, and Peter and I can take care of her, okay? Then it'll finally be okay.
After a moment, Derek manages a nod. He swallows hard and says,
Don't tell Peter.
Styles lets him go and sits back a little.
We have to tell him something, though. I mean, he'll want to know why Kate called you. And to be honest, he's smart enough to figure it out, the way I did.
He'll be mad, Derek says. He'll hate me.
Dude, I will kick his ass from here to the goddamn moon if he's mad at you for what Kate did,
Styles says, running his hand over Derek's hair, and then the back of his neck.
How about I talk to him, okay? You just hang out here, give me 5 minutes. I'll explain everything to him.
Derek tries to think of a better solution, but he can't. Styles is right. Peter will figure it out just as quickly. So he nods.
Styles climbs back out of bed and throws on some clothes, and he's gone a few moments later.
Derek has to take a few minutes just to breathe. Styles found out the truth. Someone knows the truth and the world hasn't ended. He can get up and keep going. So he does. Gets dressed and goes out the window in case any of the betas were woken when Styles left. He finds Styles pacing back and forth in front of the house.
Where's Peter?
He went on ahead. Wants to get a chance to case the diner before Kate gets there.
Styles reaches out and squeezes Derek's shoulder.
Said you probably didn't want to see him right now anyway. But to let you know that, and I quote, I didn't think it was possible to hate Kate Argent more than I already did, but now I do.
He knows it wasn't your fault, Derek. Now come on, let's go.
Styles is vibrating with tension as they pull up outside the diner. He turns to Derek and says, let me see your hand.
Frowning slightly, Derek holds it out. Styles takes a vial of water out of his jacket pocket and dips his finger in it, then traces a symbol on Derek's palm.
Okay, now I should be able to hear everything that you can hear.
Is that holy water?
Derek asks, his brow furrowed.
Styles practically hoots with laughter. I'd probably catch fire if I tried to do magic with holy water. No, it's not even special water. It's just tap water. There's a medium for every sense. Water is for listening. Earth for touch, air for sight, and fire for taste and smell.
He traces the same symbol on the back of his own hand.
Okay, now remember, you don't have to make any deals with her. Hell, you don't even have to find out what she wants you to do, because she's going to be dead by dawn. Just let her taunt you for 10 minutes. We shouldn't need half of that. Just make sure you sit facing the parking lot so she'll have to put her back to it.
Derek nods and climbs out of the car, heading into the diner. Styles gets out of his own as well and heads around the back, where he finds Peter.
What's the sitch?
2 people inside, just a waitress and a cook, Peter says. No customers. I've obscured the security cameras. We should be good to go as soon as Kate gets here.
Awesome!
Styles closes his eyes and concentrates on listening. A few minutes later, he hears a woman's voice saying,
Well, aren't you a sight for sore eyes?
His lip curls in a wolf-like manner, and he shuts out the rest of what Kate says as they jog around to the front of the diner. The first thing he does is pop a GPS tracker into the wheel well of her car. If all goes well, she'll be dead soon. But Styles and Peter always like to have a backup plan. With Kate Argent, there's a lot that could go wrong. Peter pops the trunk to take a quick survey of her weaponry, but they don't touch anything. They don't want to give any sign that they were here. Styles climbs into the well of the back seat, and Peter tosses a blanket over him. Styles enchanted it years ago to blend in with its surroundings. Even if Kate looks into her back seat, all she'll see is the car floor. With nothing else to do, Styles tunes back into Derek and Kate's conversation.
You do know what will happen if she's found out, right? I mean, forget Omega. She'd tear you to pieces.
Derek's voice is low and measured.
What do you want, Kate?
Look, you know as well as I do that your uncle and his kid are a problem. As long as they're alive, hunters are going to come here and try to use you guys against them. Take you as hostages, use you as bait, etc. They've fucked you right over with their little killing spree. So let's take care of them together. Two birds, one stone. You can get them somewhere, and I can take them out.
Derek is quiet for a minute.
So first you con me into helping you kill most of my family. Now you want me to help you kill more of it?
Kate laughs.
Well, hey, at least I was up front this time.
I've got a better idea. Why don't you go play hide and go fuck yourself and leave me alone?
You've gotten sassy, Kate says. I like it.
Barf, Styles mutters under his breath.
Think about it, babe, she continues, because I'm going to kill them one way or another. It's up to you where you want your place to be after all this is over.
Derek says nothing. Styles hears footsteps and then the jingling of the bell on the diner's door. He traces a negate rune over the one on his hand to end the listening spell. He's going to need to focus. A moment later, the car door opens and he hears Kate's weight settle into the driver's seat. Before she can even start the car, he bolts upright and jams the taser into the side of her neck. Peter's car pulls up alongside them bare seconds later. They transfer Kate from the driver's seat of her car to the back seat of Peter's. Styles climbs in with her, and Peter pulls out of the parking lot. Styles quickly secures Kate with zip ties and duct tape, but she's still unconscious when they pull up to their destination, the ruins of the old Hale house. The idea of not killing her immediately had been Styles's, but he wasn't surprised that Peter hadn't argued with him. They carry her downstairs and search her thoroughly before tying her to a chair. Styles waves the ammonia-soaked rag underneath her nose. She startles awake and then gives a croaking laugh.
Not bad. You two are as good as they say.
Yes, that's us, Peter says, smiling pleasantly at her.
So why am I still alive?
Kate asks, then coughs and adds,
would have been too quick to just slit my throat in my car, huh?
Precisely, Peter says. Besides, Styles has questions for you.
I just bet he does, Kate says with another hoarse laugh. You want to know my victims, right? That's your whole shtick? So you can give people closure?
How many? Styles asks her. She smirks at him and answers without missing a beat.
138.
Styles doesn't flinch. Instead, he sits down across from her and says, names, if you don't remember them, dates and locations.
Why should I tell you? You're just going to kill me anyway.
Because you're not like the others, are you, Kate?
Peter says, walking around behind her and gently putting his hand on her shoulder, then squeezing.
You want to brag, to boast. You want to be known as one of the most prolific serial killers of our time. I'll see that you get your own Wikipedia page. But by all means, if you'd rather not talk.
His claws dig into her shoulder. Kate laughs again.
Like you need an excuse to torture me. But you're right about the first part. I love to brag. But I'm not the only one who does, am I right? Have you read the articles they've written about you two? I bet you have some of them framed.
None of this is relevant, Styles says. Get to the point.
You in a rush?
Kate asks, smirking.
Not really, but I've learned a lot over the years.
Styles meets and holds her gaze. I want to know your victims, but I don't need to know. If all you're going to do is taunt me, then I'll slit your throat and have done with it.
Smart kid, Kate says, nodding. I bet your dad would be proud.
Styles' lip curls, and his grip tightens on the knife. Peter sees Kate's grin widen, and he realizes in that moment where the trap is. It's a moment too late. The explosion is deafening. The flash of light that accompanies it is blinding. He staggers forward and nearly trips over Stiles, then grabs him and drags him up off the floor. He practically throws them up the stairs and out of the house, still unable to hear or see. "Let me," Stiles hisses. He's recovered enough from the shock to use magic, and it helps him clear his vision and guide Peter through the woods. A shadow looms up out of the darkness, and Stiles instinctively throws the disrupt spell, leading to a crash and a grunt. "Wait," Peter says, grabbing his wrist. "It's Derek."
"Derek?"
Stiles swears. "Sorry, shit, what are you doing out here?"
"I followed you to make sure you were okay,"
Derek says, climbing back to his feet.
"What the hell happened?"
Peter shakes his head a little. "She knew there was nowhere else we could bring her, so she came ahead of time and rigged it up with flash bombs. Probably has one of her friends out here who triggered it after he saw us bring her inside."
"Why did we run?" Stiles asks. "We had her, damn it. She couldn't have rigged up real explosives or poison gas or anything because she was in there too."
"We had no idea how close her people were or what else she had planned," Peter says. "She was better prepared and she had the advantage. That's why we ran, and you know it. So calm down."
Stiles lets out a breath, then nods.
"Yeah, sorry. Just, she said that about my dad, and I know."
Peter shakes his head.
"She knew, too. But it's fine. I cloned her phone, and we've got the GPS tracker in her car.
Both of which she'll have switched out by morning,"
Stiles mutters, then adds, "Ugh, okay, I'm a hot mess and I need to sleep. I guess we have to go back to the den, right? Because Kate might still make a move tonight." Derek's posture tightens up a little, but he nods and says,
"Yeah, come on, my car is this way."
They all pile into it. Peter drives, and they depart mostly in silence. Stiles collapses onto Derek's bed, letting the last of the anger drain away.
"Sorry that we couldn't take care of it tonight, I mean."
"It's fine," Derek says, not really looking at him. Then he huffs out of breath. "No, who am I kidding? It's the opposite of fine. But it's not your fault. And I know Peter was right. By the time you found her in that room, blind and deaf, her guys could have come in. I'd rather you not take chances. Let's just get a few more hours of sleep." Peter watches the sun rise from the roof of the Hale house, deep in thought. He's been scrolling through the contents of Kate's phone most of the night, copying down her contacts and various pieces of information he can glean about her habits. Just after dawn, the GPS goes dead. Stiles was right. She's disposed of it. If she changes cars, they'll have no way to track her. He knew it wasn't going to be easy, but it annoys him exactly how good Kate was. Gerard is undoubtedly helping her, financially if nothing else, and they're going to have to get him as well. Peter thinks about their next move for a few minutes before he texts Chris.
"Good morning. Your sister is in town, just in case you didn't know."
A few minutes later, Chris replies with,
"Don't involve me in this."
"Will you let me know if she contacts you?"
Peter asks. Minutes trickle by without a reply from Chris, and it becomes clear that he's not going to get one.
"Fine, be that way."
He yawns and stretches, then goes for a quick jog around the perimeter, and decides to do his katas. Stiles is a night owl by nature, and he won't be up for a while, so Peter is a little surprised when his phone rings. He glances down to see that it's a number he recognizes, although he hasn't labeled. He answers with,
"Hello, niece. What can I do for you?"
"What did you do to upset Derek last night?"
Laura snarls. "He won't come down for breakfast." Peter sighs.
"We had Kate in our sights, but she was prepared and we didn't get her. Why don't you talk to Derek about it?"
"Because he won't talk to me,"
Laura says. Her voice chokes momentarily.
"God damn it, Peter. Things were finally getting better here. He was getting better. He was happier. He was... And now you guys come to town and fucking ruin it."
"Excuse me, but no,"
Peter says.
I'll cop to the fact that we brought this down on your heads, but I won't apologize if Derek's made a step backwards, since Styles is responsible for pretty much all the steps forward.
You son of a bitch, Laura says, her voice trembling. I've spent the last 10 years trying to help Derek, and you have the nerve to claim that all he needed was a boyfriend?
You've spent the last 10 years doing all the wrong things for him, Peter shoots back. You didn't want to give him time and space to heal. You forced him back to the town where his family was killed, forced him into a pack. You didn't listen to any of the times he told you that it wasn't what he needed or wanted, insisting that you knew best, that you could force him to heal. It doesn't work like that, Laura. I did the best I could, Laura shouted, her voice colored with tears. I fucking tried, okay? So I didn't know what I was doing. So I screwed up. God damn it, Uncle Peter, I was 19 fucking years old. Maybe I wasn't great at it, but at least I was there. Unlike you, you left us.
You could have come with us.
Oh, you think Derek would have wanted that? You think your little murder spree would have helped him?
No, Peter has to admit.
But even so, fuck your even so, Laura snaps. You wanted revenge more than you wanted to take care of us. Okay, fine. We weren't your kids. You had your own priorities, but don't you fucking dare say that I didn't take care of Derek like you stepped up and did instead.
All right, Peter says, struggling to keep an even tone. I'm sorry we upset Derek.
Gee, thanks, Laura says. That's what you're sorry for, huh?
I won't apologize for wanting revenge.
Kate was dead! Or at least, that's what we thought. It had nothing to do with revenge. Do you think I had any idea what I was doing? I had no idea, okay? I was young and scared, and you were the one who always knew what to do. And you left us. You just walked the fuck away. I spent 10 years looking over my shoulder, waiting for the day the hunters would come for us. I never felt safe. But I couldn't show that because I had Derek to look after. And he was even more scared than I was. So I just pretended everything was fine. Faked confidence that I've never felt in my entire life. And now you have the balls to come and tell me that I did everything wrong? Maybe I would have done better if you had helped me. But you didn't care about me. So why don't you take your sorry and fuck right off?
Peter is taken aback. And it's a long moment before he manages to speak. I never meant to abandon you, Laura.
I don't give a fuck what you meant to do, Laura says. You met some orphan kid under a tree and suddenly he was more important to you than us, than your real family. It wasn't fair.
No, you're right, Peter says. It wasn't. And the only thing I can say is that I was grieving too.
Laura's sobs are the only thing he can hear for a few moments.
He stares at the house in the distance, knowing he should go inside, but somehow unable to.
Finally, she manages. Have you even thought about what we're going to do after this? You might kill Kate, but she won't be the last. As long as you and Styles are still out there, they'll never stop coming for us. What am I supposed to do, Peter? How am I supposed to protect my pack?
I don't know, Peter says, and then adds, but you won't be doing it alone.
I don't want your fucking help, Laura says through her tears.
That's fine, but I'll keep you and your pack safe anyway.
There's a click. Laura has hung up. Peter sits down on a fallen tree and tries not to think too much about it. After a few minutes, he hears footsteps and scents Styles coming up behind him.
You okay?
Peter shrugs.
I suppose you heard all of that.
Well, I heard Laura's side. Pretty sure everyone in a 5-mile radius did. I'm not exactly sure of what you said in reply, but I know that it can't have been easy for you to hear.
Styles sits down next to him.
I guess she wasn't wrong?
No, she wasn't. Maybe the fact that I was grieving is an excuse, but I can't hold her anger against her. I don't regret what we've done, but she has a right to hate me.
Styles sighs. So, what do we do now? Not just about Kate, about the others.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it for a while.
Okay. Styles stands up. You want to go grab some breakfast?
Derek's not really in a great headspace right now. Figured I'd give him some time with his sister. You and I can figure out our next move.